In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In her life, we will be able to appreciate a great spirit of penance as a means of manifesting her love for Jesus, knowing how to offer all her sufferings for the salvation of others. Her entire life was filled with blessings from God. The ecstasies were continuous. The gift of science was admired by the wisest theologians. Her visions and prophecies stunned all who knew her. Montefalco is a city in Italian Umbria, which in Claire's time probably had about 2,000 inhabitants. Previously, it had been called Cocorone, and it had been well walled for its defense. At the beginning of the 13th century, the neighborhood called Castellari emerged outside the walls, which would grow a lot over the years. For this reason, in 1244, another wall was built to protect the population of Castellari within a single walled perimeter. Starting in 1249, the whole complex began to be called Montefalco. The city rises on a hill 1,500 feet or 470 meters above sea level. At the time of the saint, the municipality of Montefalco enjoyed a wide autonomy. It had its own statutes and a small army. It received tributes from merchants, mills, and kilns. It had its own administered civil and criminal justice. Politically, it depended on the Holy See. The spiritual atmosphere was good, but a series of spiritual movements arose that falsified the authentic faith and led to extravagances and serious errors. One of these movements was that of the flagellants, who promoted conversion with great penances. They went through the cities bare-chested, beating their backs as if salvation depended exclusively on doing penance, and not on loving God and others. Other similar movements that strongly emphasized penance and absolute poverty and that fell into heresy or serious excesses were the Fraticelli or Little Brethren, the Humiliated, or those of the Spirit of Freedom. Claire's grandfather was named James. He was a very good businessman and built a good family estate. His three sons, Simone, Viviano, and Damien, maintained the union of their paternal assets for a long time to avoid inconveniences. Damien, the youngest son, had been born between 1220 and 1225. He married Jacobo Falcone. In 1251, they had Juana, and in 1268, our St. Clair. In 1272, Francisco came to the world. It seems that his parents were devotees of St. Francis of Assisi and St. Clair of Assisi, who had died in 1226 and 1253 respectively, and whose fame had spread throughout Italy. In 1273, Theodorica was born, who died when she was very young. When St. Clair of Montefalco was less than 6 years old, she sometimes went to visit her sister by herself. And when she was on the road, she was presented with a demon, with his face covered in the form of a woman, near the door of a certain house, and she was very frightened. But Claire had such a desire to go to see her sister that she kept on down the road, and the demon would go back and enter the house. Once, she heard a voice telling her that he wanted to kill her like her sister Theodorica. On another occasion, the demon presented himself to her in the form of her sister Juana. She was in her house, wanting to enter definitively the cell of her sister, when she was 6 years old. She thought she saw her sister Juana, who told her, "My Claire, for the love of God, I must tell you something that until now I have hidden from you. The whim you have to lock yourself up with me is vain, foolish, and reckless. It is in vain, because being no more than 6 years old, the Bishop of Spoleto will never give you a license to enter. It is silly, because you think you find pleasure and consolation in my cell, and you are wrong. I assure you that in all this time I have been locked up, I have had nothing but tribulations. It is reckless, because you do not know that if you enter, you will have to fast every day and suffer everything that can be suffered. I confess to you, my sister, that if it were not for the honor of the family, I would not want to be locked up any longer. Now I have come to you secretly to give you this healthy advice that I have not been able to give you other times." Then St. Clair turned to the crucifix and prayed to know God's will. Suddenly, she felt an internal voice telling her, "Go tomorrow to see your sister and you will know my will." The next day, after Juana had listened attentively to Claire, Juana encouraged her to enter. But if the devil manifested himself to her when she was such a little girl, so did the baby Jesus, and he filled her with happiness. St. Claire of Montefalco, when she was a child, while she was praying, many times the Virgin Mary appeared to her with the baby Jesus under her mantle. Jesus, advised by his mother, approached Claire, took her by the hand, and filled her with immense joy. St. Claire, who saw the baby Jesus with her own eyes, wanted to take him and play with him, but the baby Jesus escaped from her by turning to his mother, the Virgin Mary, and leaving her with a great desire to love him. It is not surprising that she, with so much love for Jesus, wanted to dedicate her life to him and retire to live alone with her sister. At the age of 20, in 1271, Juana, St. Claire's older sister, went to live with her friend Andrea in the cell built by her father Damien, who wanted the sanctity of his daughter, on land that he had bought from Perone di Chiara. This cell was in front of the hospital for the poor of the municipality called San Leonardo. St. Claire, being small, was allowed in when she went with her mother. Sometimes they stayed to sleep there, especially when Juana was ill and her mother had to take care of her. When Claire was 5 or 6 years old, she was already allowed to go alone. She, despite the possible dangers, knew that her friend Jesus would defend her, and when she was afraid, she made the sign of the cross to defend herself from the devil. Just as Jesus granted her many gifts and visions, ecstasies and spiritual gifts, he also allowed the devil himself to appear to St. Claire and make her suffer so that she would have the opportunity to show him her love and offer her sufferings for the salvation of her persecutors and of all sinners. St. Claire of Montefalco freed her sisters from the tricks of the demons, so they were outraged. Frequently, and above all on Friday nights, they appeared to St. Claire around her and threatened to kill her because she radically destroyed their works. One night, the demons wanted to suffocate her. The nuns, who had heard noises, came and found Claire very tired and helped her as best they could. And St. Claire tried harder to defend them from temptations, keeping them at the service of God. Claire herself told her confessor, Father Tomas, that for 7 years she had been exposed to the power of demons that had afflicted her with terrors, blows, diseases, and other sufferings. St. Claire, to allow that the demons could more freely beat her and were not impeded by her sisters, at night she would go out of the bedroom to her cloister. Sister Marina affirms that once, while the sisters were in the oratory reciting the Divine Office, Claire saw by revelation of the Holy Spirit a demon who had entered the oratory with her sisters. The demon was with them during the service, and afterwards the demon went out with them. St. Claire said that the demon appeared in the form of a man, and that this was due to some gossip that had taken place between some sisters. Her niece, Sor Juana, remembers that she often heard Claire's cry when the demons appeared to her in her cell at night. Sometimes the demon appeared to her in the form of a man, a woman, or animals. St. Claire told her that on occasion, the demons would put their hands over her mouth to suffocate her and threatened her in different ways. One night, this witness heard a sound as if someone was knocking on her lathe. A sister wanted to go see who she was, but St. Claire told her, while this witness was present, "Be careful where you go, because it is not who you think." And that sister went to the lathe and found no one. And Claire told her, "All night I have seen a demon that was on the lathe." Sister Marina declares that the year of her death, St. Claire saw a big devil with other little ones who came to the monastery and wanted to enter but could not. And Claire saw them, and they tried to get in and they couldn't. Finally, they reached Claire's cell and the big demon told her, "You have done this to me, but I will organize such intrigues against you and your sisters that you will have much to suffer." And those demons went to another monastery in Montefalco. And Claire said that in that convent, many things were plotted against them and her convent. The demons made her suffer, and she suffered, loved, and grew more and more in love and holiness, saving many souls for God. Despite the fact that Claire was not educated, she had a great capacity to understand the sacred scriptures. She understood the sacred scriptures, or the Bible, beyond the capacity of human understanding, with such acuity that of each thing, no matter how minimal, she made wonderful speeches with very deep expressions. Her brother Francisco says in the process of beatification about St. Clare, she had a very clear understanding of all the virtues and vices, and she had it of all creatures, so that from an oak leaf she could say so many things, that if someone wrote them down, a mule could not carry them. And to this witness, who asked her different questions of sacred scripture, Clare answered him with such lucidity that everything was clarified better than in the writings and doctrines of any other. And to an individual who asked St. Clare about the meaning of the words of scripture in Exodus chapter 33, verse 23, that says, "You will see my back, but my face will not be seen," St. Clare of Montefalco replied that the back of God means divine and spiritual things that are not seen, but are believed and expected until everything is seen in glory. St. Clare answered deeply and truthfully the most difficult questions of theology proposed to her by the great professors and expert theologians, leaving them satisfied with her answers. Sister Marina declared before the judges of the process of beatification that she remembered that among other great theologians who came to ask St. Clare were Angelo of Rome, Bartolo de Spoleto, Friar Santiago de Gonzio, Friar Pedro de Perugio, Don Pedro Colonna, and others. Sister Tomasa claims to have heard Clare say that if all the wise men from the University of Paris came, she would know how to answer all their questions. God gave her so much light that about a tree leaf she could say so many things as to write many books. She also knew strange languages without having studied them. Her niece Juana declares that one day St. Clare told the nuns, this witness being present, "We have a pilgrim from faraway places nearby." When it was time for the pilgrim to come, St. Clare went to meet her at the door. And while she was going, she said to her sisters, "Come, come, our pilgrim has already arrived." The pilgrim's name was Margarita, and she was from Provence. And Clare spoke with her about God and spiritual things, speaking in the language of the pilgrim. And this witness heard Clare say that the pilgrim understood everything she had told her. On the other hand, she knew the people who were coming to the monastery and their intentions, as well as personal matters of their lives. Clare also knew the hearts and intentions of the nuns in her convent. Sister Marina says, "One day, two of the servants left the monastery to bring cherries by order of Sister Clare, but they went to visit the sister of one of them who had just got married, who showed them the wedding dresses and other worldly things. Upon returning to the convent, Clare told them everything they had done and reprimanded them, ordering that those cherries should not be eaten in the monastery. Another day, the same nuns went to the house of a relative of this witness for bread, who invited them to drink something with her against the prioress's mandate and against the customs of the monastery. When they returned, Clare reprimanded them anyway. A novice did an exaggerated penance, too hard on the body. Clare could not know without divine revelation. St. Clare called her out and secretly reprimanded her. The novice understood that following and obeying her advice, she rejected the devil's temptations better with a little penance than she did before. The novice herself had a secret sin that she had not revealed even to the confessor. Clare discovered it, and the novice repented and did penance. When a sister had some temptation or thought against God, Clare herself called for her, and when the sister arrived, St. Clare revealed what she thought and corrected the sister alone. When they had a community meeting, St. Clare told them, "I know what are the temptations and thoughts that some have. I do not want to name them, but try to correct yourself." A nun from the convent named Inez, who said she had visions, one day revealed one to St. Clare, but she replied, this witness being present, "That is not a divine vision, but an illusion of the devil." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.